Small Town Sports Podcast, Episode 2. This episode, I'm going to recap what was a wild NHL draft from last night. I'm going to go over the top 10 picks and, of course, the Leafs pick. And going to talk about the impact that those players will have on the franchise that selected them and a bit of background on them. Again, obviously, I'm stealing all this from the Sportsnet broadcast last night. You know, I'm not Bob McKenzie or Darren Dreger or Pierre LeBrun. I'm not going through all the film on these guys and, you know, doing research on them. I'm just, you know, sort of reiterating what was already said and recapping for you guys what was said last night. And then we'll go over a couple of trades that happened last night. And then I'll also talk about a few interesting things I found that happened last night and what were said by Brian Burke and the Sportsnet panel last night. You know, just before I do that, though, I really just want to say how much I appreciate all the people that have reached out to me and, you know, via Facebook or text message or whatever, and just offering their support and, you know, that they feel like this is a, you know, pretty good idea. And, you know, for people who don't have, you know, always have the time to watch every game and, you know, don't have time to, you know, check their phone for highlights and updates and stuff, this is a chance for them to, you know, to sort of get it secondhand. And again, everything that's stated on this podcast is opinionated, is an educated opinion. You know, I mean, like I said, you know, I'm not Bob McKenzie or Darren Dreger or, you know, Pierre LeBrun. I don't study hockey players for a living, but, you know, I am a fan. I'm a diehard fan. And, you know, I know enough about the game that I can certainly talk about it and share my thoughts and feelings, you know, towards what happened. And not just hockey, you know, lots of sports, football, basketball, baseball, anything. So, like I said, I hope to keep giving you guys good content. And, you know, like I said in the last episode, I'd really like to start doing some interviews at some point. And, you know, I already have a couple ideas, you know, maybe get some debates going in here over different sports topics. You know, Michael Jordan versus LeBron James debate, that's a big one. You know, I have a couple people lined up for that. I think that would be one that you definitely would want to tune into. And like I said, you know, I have a couple other people that I've thought about maybe, you know, if I can grow this enough that it's worth their while, you know, maybe have them kind of come on and talk to them. So, anyway, so going to dive right in here. So NHL drafts, I cannot believe, some of the guys that fell, and I will go over Montreal's pick at number 3, and I'm just going to rip Marc Bergevin to shreds, but we will get to that point. So, obviously, first overall, Rasmus Dahlin, you know, that wasn't a shocker. I mean, they might as well have just had the jersey waiting for him up on the stage and just told him just to come up, because everybody knew he was going first overall. You know, he's a franchise defenseman. You know, he's a guy that the Sabres have been waiting for, and he's a guy that, you know, they're hoping, you know, can turn around that franchise. You know, he's an Eric Carlson type guy, offensive defenseman, you know, great skater, good passer. You know, he's the complete package. So, you know, Buffalo definitely was fortunate to have won this lottery. You know, I think it was finally good for them. You know, they've had a lot of bad luck in the lotteries past. You know, they lost the Aaron Ekblad one, Connor McDavid draft as well. So, you know, it's good for them to get. And might I add, there, I don't know if you guys saw their owner, Kim Pegula. She was upstate. She went on stage last night and, you know, did the whole spiel about, oh, you know, thank you, Dallas, for your hospitality, yada, yada, yada. But she has got to be one of the hottest owners in all of professional sports. She is a freaking missile. I could not believe it. They could have left her standing up there for talking for 20 minutes. I would have been entertained just looking at her. But anyway, moving on. So second overall was Carolina, and they picked Andrei Svechnikov, right winger. You know, that one was pretty locked into. I mean, all the talk I had heard all week, and you know, in the build up and all the, you know, pre-draft rankings and selections, you know, from Craig Button and such, you know, he was going number two. It was a pretty lock that that he was going to be selected second overall. So, you know, he's a pure scorer. You know, some guys compare him to Vladimir Tarasenko. You know, he's a guy that can just put the puck in the net. He's a Russian, you know, great shot, very offensive minded player. You know, he's going to help Carolina out for sure. You know, even though that organization needs a lot of help, because at this point it's a bit of a joke. But anyway, so the one that changed everything in the draft was Montreal's pick, third overall. Jesus, guy's got a weird name, but they picked Jesperi Kotkaniemi. I don't know how to say that, but anyway, he's a center. You know, obviously, that's one of Montreal's glaring needs, if not their biggest need, was a center. You know, I understand that. You know, I mean, they traded for Jonathan Drouin last year, hoping he could play center, but he's not a centerman. You know, they don't have a centerman in their lineup, so they need to draft somebody. You know, and a couple things that they said about him on Sportsnet. You know, he's got good vision, he's a smart player, but the most important thing, and this is what Brian Burke said, you know, he's not NHL ready. He needs to go back. He needs to go back to Finland, and he has to, you know, get more seasoned. So, you know, in the short term, this does not help Montreal at all. You know, they're still gonna be lacking that center. And I mean, you know, who knows if he's gonna pan out, you know, or if he's gonna be a number one center. I mean, I'm sure he might pan out, but he might end up being a third line centerman. Well, that doesn't do you any good. So, you know, I was definitely a little surprised by this, especially because Philip Zadina was on the board, and he was what a lot of people thought was who was gonna go number three. You know, he's a winger. He's a guy that can put the puck in the net, and you know, Montreal. Again, they had a lot of issues last year, you know, and scoring goals was one of them. So he was a guy that definitely could help with that. But again, you know, Bergeron drafted positionally, and he didn't take the best player available. And you know, I'll get into that a bit more later on in the episode, again, because Brian Burke and the guys on Sportsnet had some, you know, had some thoughts on doing that. So, number four was Tkachuk, Brady Tkachuk. You know, he was definitely a guy that a lot of people were talking about. You know, if anybody watches his brother Matthew play in Calgary, you know, he's a gritty guy. He's bigger bodied, but he can also put the puck in the net. You know, like I said, he's tough, and you know, he's not afraid to hit, and he, you know, like I said, he can put the puck in the net. So Brady's the same way. You know, gritty, you know, he can score, good skater, you know, and really good hands, and you know, good vision on the ice. You know, and the one thing they kept saying was, you know, he's one of the hardest working guys on the ice always. So, you know, for Ottawa, that's a big pickup, because they, you know, that organization, you know, is probably worse off than Montreal is right now. You know, they're an absolute disaster. So, you know, they need a guy like that who's going to put, you know, fans in the building and really, you know, create some buzz in that city. You know, and Tkachuk is sort of a Wayne Simmons type player. So, you know, that's definitely a good selection by them. You know, like I said, he's definitely going to help that team out. You know, if not in the short term, definitely in the long run. So number five to Arizona was Barrett Hayton, center. You know, that center was definitely a position, again, that Arizona, you know, needed. But they may, you know, he was ranked ninth overall. So, you know, they definitely picked up a, you know, reached up a bit. And again, like Montreal did, they drafted positionally versus the best player available. You know, he's got high hockey IQ, definitely a top six forward potential. But again, you know, did Arizona reach a bit, and you know, did they miss on a couple good guys who were picked just after him? You know, I guess we'll see as the years go on. Number six to Detroit was guy who I mentioned earlier, Philip Zadina. You know, he was a guy that was definitely in a lot of the projections was supposed to go top three. You know, he's a guy that, like Svechnikov, he can just put the puck in the net, you know. Good offensive talent, great hands, you know, and he's mature, you know, for his age, and he's a guy that's probably going to play immediately for Detroit. You know, although they do obviously have a long, for a long time, they've had a habit of, you know, over ripening their prospects, but, you know, they also don't have Pavel Datsyuk and Zetterberg anymore. So, you know, they're definitely in different stages of, you know, of their franchise and are sort of in the rebuilding phase and retooling phase. So, you know, I would be shocked if he doesn't play right away for them. Number seven of Vancouver was Quinton Hughes, defenseman. You know, definitely one of the top ranked D in this draft. You know, Vancouver, again, like a lot of teams, is sort of in that, you know, that time where they're, you know, rebuilding and retooling and, you know, trying to get younger. So, you know, he's definitely going to help them on the back end for sure. You know, and he's an offensive defenseman. You know, guy can pass the puck, but he is pretty small. And that's one thing that they, Burke and them, did say on the panel is that, you know, he's going to really have to work on his physical game and, you know, battling in the corners and stuff like that. And he's actually also the brother of Jack Hughes, who is predicted to go number one overall next season. So, you know, going to have two Hughes brothers back to back in these drafts. So, number eight to Chicago was Adam Boqvist, another defenseman, you know, another offensive defenseman, good vision and awareness on the ice. You know, he's a great skater. You know, this one left the panel, you know, sort of scratching their head a bit because, you know, as I get down to pick 10 and so on, you know, they might have missed the better defenseman, you know. And, you know, for a team like Chicago, you know, they've been through a lot of long playoff series. And, you know, obviously the last two seasons they haven't even made the playoffs. So, you know, and they've, you know, as what comes with winning championships is, you know, you start losing guys because guys want more money and, you know, in the cap area, you can't afford everybody. So, you know, and Chicago has had to, you know, sell off a lot of, you know, big pieces. You know, like they traded Nicholas Johansson, I think, last offseason. You know, lost the guy like Patrick Sharp a few seasons ago. You know, Marian Hossa didn't play for him last year because he was hurt. You know, they've just lost. You know, they're getting older and they're losing guys, so they need to sort of restock the shelves. But this one, you know, I don't know if, you know, I guess time will tell if this was a good pick or not. Number nine of the Rangers was Vitali Kratsov, right winger. You know, this one also the panel was sort of scratching their heads at. You know, I think, again, the Rangers sort of drafted positionally on this versus the best guy available. You know, he was ranked 19th overall, and the Rangers took him at 9. So, you know, I don't know, maybe they saw something that nobody else did. But, you know, he does have good hands and definitely a high hockey IQ, but he only had 7 points in 35 games last year in the KHL. You know, I mean, yeah, he's young, you know, he's 18 years old, so, you know, he is playing against men, but still, that's not really a whole lot of points. So, again, you know, he's obviously going to need some time to develop, and, you know, we'll see if he turns into, you know, something down the road for the Rangers. So, this next pick, Peter Chiarelli must be absolutely... he needs to thank the hockey gods for this one because I cannot believe this guy was available. Evan Bouchard from the London Knights, defenseman. You know, he was the 4th ranked skater in North America this season, and he had 87 points last year. 87 as a defenseman. He's an absolute beast. You know, he's a well-rounded guy, has a howitzer from the shot, great in his own end. You know, he's a Drew Doughty type of guy. You know, he's an all-around guy. You know, he's a guy that can play right away, you know, and, you know, I don't know what kind of prayers Shirley was, you know, saying to the hockey gods, but they listened because this is a guy that he needed to fall in their lap, and he did. So he needs to be thanking his lucky stars that somehow this guy bounced to him. And also 11, too. You know, I know I said I was only going to cover top 10, but 11 was, hold on, where is that? I got to find it here, sorry. Oh, Dobson. You know, he's another guy that, you know, people were absolutely shocked that was available. You know, he was considered the second best D-man in the draft ahead of Bouchard. You know, so the Islanders got extremely lucky that, you know, Dobson fell to them. And, you know, I honestly think, you know, except both those guys should play right away. And by the sounds of it, they are both have tremendous talent and, you know, have a lot of potential. So, like I said, the Oilers and the Islanders certainly got lucky, I think, last night. You know, like I said, with Montreal and Arizona and a few other teams kind of, you know, going off the board a bit. So, now, obviously to the most important team in the draft, as always, the Toronto Maple Leafs. So, originally, they had the 25th pick, but when it came up to it, and like I said, I know I was going to get into trades. I'll get into trades, more trades later, but since I'm on Toronto, I'll just talk about it. So, they had the 25th pick, but Dubas ended up flipping it for the 29th pick in the first round, and then a third round pick, 76 overall. So not a bad, you know, I was happy with that deal. I mean, you know, you had an extra third round pick, and you move back four spots. And it sounded like, you know, by all accounts, the guy that they wanted anyway was available there, and now it was Rasmus. And they picked defenseman Rasmus Sandin. You know, he's a small-bodied defenseman, good puck-moving guy. You know, has a good two-way game, can play in both of, you know, both ends. You know, obviously, being a small body defenseman, you know, his physical game needs some improvement. But, you know, he had 45 points in 51 games last year. So, you know, definitely can put up numbers and, you know, should be a guy, hopefully, down the road that can come up and play with a big club and, you know, join the likes of Timothy Liljegren and, you know, Travis Dermott. You know, a couple young defensemen that the Leafs have in the pipeline who, you know, are close or are ready. So, okay, so that's, there's my sort of analysis slash recap of the picks 1 to 10 and then the Leafs pick. So I'm going to take a quick break and coming back, I'm going to go over a couple of the trades that happened last night and then go over a little bit of a few fun facts and then I'll discuss what I will be talking about in episode 3 of the Small Town Sports Podcast. Alright, we're back. Small Town Sports Podcast, episode 2. So in the first segment, I went over all the picks, sort of gave you a little bit of knowledge on each guy and, you know, sort of where they project and, you know, whether I agreed with it or not. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to go over a few trades that happened. You know, there weren't many, even though, of course, there's always, you know, tons of rumors leading up to the draft. You know, but this guy, that guy, whatever, but, you know, of course not a whole lot happened, but one trade that did happen, you know, that I did find kind of interesting was the Washington and Colorado trade. So Washington received a second round pick, 47th overall for, Brooks Orpik and Philip Grubauer. Orpik obviously being a defenseman and Philip Grubauer being a goalie. You know, this is definitely interesting. You know, Grubauer is a guy who he actually started the playoffs for the Capitals this postseason, you know, but I think, you know, he's still young and has a lot to learn. So he obviously didn't stick and Holpe ended up going in and it obviously was a good decision because they ended up winning the freaking Stanley Cup. But, you know, so and Colorado has been looking for a goaltender, you know, to kind of help out Varlamov because he's a guy who plays a lot of minutes and, you know, again, Colorado is a team that's sort of in that transition phase and is trying to get, you know, trying to get better and, you know, get back to being, you know, being a good team. So, and, you know, the Orpik, acquisition. Pierre LeBrun tweeted out that Colorado is going to either try to trade him or is going to buy him out. And then, if they buy him out, he's going to actually become a free agent. He's 37 years old. Sort of the end of the line. I mean, he made $5.5 million last year. That's a little rich, I think, for even a team like Colorado to pay. Well, I think Washington did this because A, they're definitely gonna use that second round pick to, restock some of the shelves, in their farm system. But also, I think that they're trying to open up cap room so they can re-sign Eric, or not Eric, sorry, John Carlson, and a few other guys who they have who are pending UFAs. So, I honestly, fortunately for the Leafs' sake, I think this is going to take John Carlson off the list. I think, Washington, like I said, they just freed up, well, like I said, Orpik made $5.5 million, and I'm not sure what Grubauer's contract was at last year, but like I said, they freed up a good chunk of change to, like I said, to re-sign some of their guys, and Carlson being number one on their list. So, and I mean, Orpik, like I said, he is 37 years old, and he only had 10 points last year in 81 games. So, he's not a big offensive guy. He's sort of a tougher defenseman who is physical and kind of a pain in the ass to play against. So, but I certainly do see a team taking a chance on Orpik, team who may maybe need some bottom pairing defensive help. I honestly don't think the Leafs are a team that would be interested in him. I think they've got enough, bottom pairing defensemen as it is. So, I just don't see a fit being there for him on the Leafs. But and then obviously, the other pick that I or sorry, the other trade that I already discussed was the Leafs pick. They traded the 29th or sorry, the 25th overall pick in this draft for the St. Louis's 29th and their third round 76th overall pick. And then also another trade that happened was Ottawa received the Rangers' first round pick and their second round pick, and the Rangers received the Ottawa Senators' first round pick, which was 22nd overall. So, nothing major. Like I said, just picks for picks, and like I said, I as far as that aspect, I was a little disappointed. Like I said, there's always the hype about, oh, could Erik Karlsson get dealt with the draft, and there's always just so many rumors going around, and I think it, it definitely adds to excitement because you're just hoping and waiting for something to happen. But, again, ultimately it was just a few smaller trades. Now, one that did happen actually pre-draft that I did find kind of interesting and couldn't quite understand was the Arizona Coyotes acquired Alex Galchenyuk from Montreal for Max Domi. Again, Bergevin, I do not know what the hell you're doing here. You guys don't have any centers in the system as it is, and Galchenyuk was a guy who, yeah, probably better off as playing a wing, but he actually could play center for you. And you go out and you acquire a guy like Max Domi, who, hey, I love Max Domi. He's a London Knights alumni. I love my London Knights guys, but he scored 9 goals last year, and 4 of them were on an empty net. So, I mean, like I said, Montreal had trouble enough putting the puck in the net last year. I don't think Domi's going to help you out a whole lot. So, that trade was a little bit of a head scratcher, and with Montreal drafting Jesperi Kotkaniemi, I can't even say his name, at center, it's going to be a bit interesting. And I think Bergevin, I mean, he's already is on the hot seat, but I think honestly, if things don't go well for that franchise, 25 games in, I think Bergevin's gone. He's got to be at this point. I think the fans are fed up with him. You trade Subban for Shea Weber, who's, what, 50 years old now and still has 7 years on his contract. Of course, I am exaggerating a bit, but still has a good chunk of term, and he makes a lot per year, for being so old, and he's got a lot of miles on him. So, and of course, PK Subban is a beast. So, that trade certainly didn't that trade certainly didn't work out in Montreal's favor either. But you know what? I really don't care because I hate the Canadiens. So that's fine. That's fine by me. So some notes / fun facts that I picked up on from last night. One, Brady Tkachuk, they had 95 friends and family there to watch him get drafted. That is an insane amount. I mean, I obviously there isn't a limit on how many tickets you can get, you know, for yourself and for your family, but 95? That is absolutely insane. I don't even know if I have 95 friends. Jesus. Anyway, good for him, I guess. Of course, you know, the one thing, Bettman getting booed, I always love seeing that. And honestly, at this point, you know, he embraces it. I mean, he's such a smug asshole that I think he just laughs and just says, "Oh, come on, is that the best you got?" You know, and I always find that humorous. But it was also very classy for them to recognize, you know, the humbled Broncos. I mean, you know, for those of you who don't know what happened, I mean, just Google that and see. You know, it was obviously a horrific accident in Saskatchewan with a junior hockey team. And, you know, in any small town in the world, not just Canada, but, you know, they certainly have an impact. But, I mean, you know, being from a small town like Petrolia, you know, hockey is a strong component of this community. And, you know, Petrolia hosting Silver Stick all the time. And, you know, all the success that the, you know, Petrolia has had in the past, you know, certainly brought this close to home a bit. And you know, like I said, I've got lots of guys I went to school with who played junior hockey and, you know, rode those buses. And, you know, I can only imagine, you know, if something like that happened around here, what, you know, what kind of a tragedy that would be. And you know, I'm sure for those guys too, it kind of hit close to home. And you know, like I said, so I, again, that was just really classy for the NHL to, you know, give them a big you know, recognize like that, and you know, recognize all the strength of the players who are still alive and who are still in hospital and in rehab and, you know, trying to, you know, not think about playing hockey again, but even just walk again and live a, you know, decent quality of life. So that was great. So I don't know about you guys, but I love Brian Burke on the panel. He's such a crusty old man who is bitter and, you know, I just think he's mad at the rest of the league. And, you know, he's so bitter about the NHL draft lottery. You know, they brought that up, and, you know, I think he went there 3 times with Calgary, and every time he was there, they lost, and then they went farther back than they were projected to. So, you know, a guy like him, he hates the draft lottery, and, you know, he's just a bitter old man. You know, and one thing that, you know, like I said, he did keep saying was, you know, to draft the best player available, not draft positionally. And, you know, again, like I said earlier in the episode, you know, I brought that up with Montreal and their pick. You know, Montreal, like I said, because they're in such dire need of centers, you know, they drafted positionally and not the best player available. And, you know, like he said, that's probably going to go back to bite them, because a guy like Evan Bouchard was available, you know, and he's a guy, or, you know, Dobson, you know, and those are guys that, yes, they're defensemen, but, you know, Montreal can use defensemen as well. And those are guys that can come in right away and make an impact on your team, not a guy who has to go back to Finland and play in the Finnish league for another 2 or 3 years before he might be ready to play, you know, in the NHL. So, you know, that was interesting. Now, Berkey should have listened to that advice back when he was the GM of the Leafs, because back in the 2013 draft, the Leafs drafted Frédéric Gauthier. I think it was 22nd overall. He's a centerman. You know, and so when he said that, I remember that, you know, that draft, because a lot of people were very critical of that pick, saying, you know, this guy is nothing, he's not going to be anything better than a third line centerman. But that time, Tyler Bozak was the Leafs' number one center. You know, we all know how that worked out. And, you know, they were desperate for a centerman. But again, you know, he didn't listen to his advice, and he drafted positionally versus the best player available. So what I did, I looked up who was actually, who was drafted after Frédéric Gauthier, just to see. And, there were two guys that I would love to have, who I would love to be on the Leafs right now, but Berkey being a donkey, and he drafted Frederick Gauthier instead. But the Leafs could have Shea Theodore right now, or Andrei Burakovsky. They were drafted right after Frederick Gauthier. You know, I don't know what Berkey and his scouting staff were smoking, but it obviously wasn't anything good because they missed big on that one. And he actually said another interesting story that he was talking to Kenny Holland from Detroit, who's the GM of the Red Wings, and you know Holland basically told him like, oh yeah, you know we're taking a defenseman, you know, but then Philip Zadina came available, who I said earlier was projected to go top three, you know, without batting an eye. He's a right winger, pure goal scorer, excuse me. So you know when he saw that he was available, again, best player available, they took him. So you know that, and you know Holland being a veteran GM like that, you know, that's not a surprise that he would, you know, do something like that. But you know, honestly, except I still do love Berkey on the panel, because you know he's been down there on the draft floor. You know, he's been through the process of drafting guys and not only drafting but scouting them, and you know getting his scouting department ready for it, and you know going over the, you know, hundreds of scenarios that could happen before it, and you know, and he's had those trade conversations with teams, you know, not just on draft day but you know on trade deadline, etc. So you know he definitely has a lot of insight to add, and you know he knows how a trade develops in the NHL. You know, some trades happen within a day, some take 6 months to actually happen. So like I said, I definitely do enjoy his insight, and like I said, he's just a crusty old bag, so I also find him funny. So like I said before, you know, Peter Chiarelli has got to be the luckiest guy in the world right now. I mean, to get Bouchard from the London Knights, you know, like I said, that guy is an absolute beast. And, you know, Shirley was talking about trading the 10th overall pick away just to get a defenseman. So, you know, when he saw that Montreal and Arizona and a couple other guys sort of went off the board and that Bouchard might be available, you know, I'm sure he was just licking his lips. So, like I said, he should be very thankful. And, like I said, Bouchard is definitely going to help out that Oilers team who, you know, I mean, they have Connor McDavid, so you know I don't know how much help they need, but you know, but certainly on the back end though, they need some depth on defense, and you know, he's definitely a guy I think that's going to play right away. So you know, once again, the Oilers get lucky, bastards. You know, the one thing though, you know, I kind of already talked about it, but you know, I was disappointed in the lack of trades. Again, you know, there's all this hype all the time, every year with, you know, oh, this guy could get traded, you know, blockbuster deal here, blockbuster deal there, and it just never happens. You know, and this is why the NBA offseason is so much better than the NHL, and why the NBA does so much better ratings than the NHL, because things actually happen. You know, there's always superstars switching teams, i.e. LeBron James, who's probably going to leave Cleveland again to go where? You know, L.A. maybe, could be Philadelphia. You know, there's definitely a few possibilities there. But, you know, that just doesn't happen in the NHL. And, you know, I briefly touched on this last podcast, you know, with the Steven Stamkos situation. You know, he was close. You know, he got to the period where, you know, teams can talk with him and, you know, start talking numbers and negotiate with him, you know, before July 1st. But, you know, he ended up going back home. So again, this is why the NBA offseason is so much more exciting, just like I said, because there's always guys leaving. You know, superstars are not afraid to switch teams. And, you know, this is why this John Tavares situation, which, by the way, it being Saturday, about, I don't know, maybe about 2 hours ago, Pierre LeBrun tweeted that Tavares is going to explore his options, just like Stamkos did, and he's going to talk to 5 teams. Now, that list hasn't been released yet, but I'm going to tell you that Toronto, I mean, if Toronto isn't on that list, I'll be absolutely shocked. You know, Tavares is from, he's not from Toronto, but I think he's from Mississauga originally, so you know, he's definitely a GTA kid anyway. So, like I said, I would be shocked if he doesn't at least listen to the Leafs. You know, a couple of their teams that might be interested. I think San Jose is definitely going to make a big push for Tavares. You know, Thornton's way too old now, and you know, they need some help up the middle there. You know, I could see like a team like certainly Vegas. I think they may make a push. Now, how strong that'll be, I don't know. You know, they certainly have the money to pay him, but I just don't think, you know, I certainly don't think they'll be front runner for him. And another team, a team I've brought up a lot, who I think if they, you know, if they desperately need him is the Montreal Canadiens. You know, they're going to try like mad to get, you know, get him in a room and talk with him and try to sign him. Because again, you know, they do have quite a bit of cap room, Montreal. But I honestly, I don't think Tavares wants to go there. It's no better than the Islanders. You know, Montreal is in not turmoil, but you know, they have some issues there as well. You know, adding him, yeah, that definitely would help, a lot, but I just don't see it. I don't think he wants to go there. You know, where he's probably not going to have much of a better shot of making the playoffs than he would, you know, with the Islanders. So anyway, so that's the update on the Tavares situation anyway. So, you know, I'll definitely keep a close eye on that, and, you know, I'll definitely be posting on my Facebook page, Small Town Sports Podcast, you know, giving you guys updates on that. So just a few more things I want to say. So the first, so again, there were two Leninites selected in the first round. Evan Bouchard, again, being one. He went to Edmonton. Another guy, Liam Foudy. He's a forward. And so, you know, every year it seems like there's always a few Knights that go high in the draft, you know, at least first round. So I went to go to Wikipedia and I typed in, you know, how many London Knights have been drafted in total. And, you know, I didn't just say first round. I said in total. They have had more players selected than any other team in the world. They've had 163 players drafted in the NHL in total. I mean, that's insane. And that just shows you that any guy who gets drafted to the OHL and gets drafted by the London Knights has a, you know, that's where you want to go. It's an NHL factory, because Dale and Mark Hunter, they know how to run a hockey club, and they know what it takes. And, you know, if there's a guy with discipline issues, they get him straightened out pretty quick, or they send him packing. So I guess, you know, if your kid's going to have hockey and he gets drafted to the OHL, pray it's London Knights, because you never know, he might have a chance. And since we touched on Liam Foudy, they said when he got drafted that he finished first in five of the seven combine categories. I mean, what a beast. So that, you know, it shows how athletic that kid is and how, you know, physically strong he is. You know, I since I'm bringing this up, I should look up who drafted him. I don't know why I didn't write that down. I do apologize for that. If you bear with me, I will look it up. But again, first place in five of the seven NHL combine categories. That's nuts. Liam Foudy, he's a center, and he went to the Columbus Blue Jackets. So Liam Foudy, Columbus Blue Jackets. Yeah, so again, this has been episode 2 of the Small Town Sports Podcast. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. You know, again, like I said at the top of the show, you know, I really appreciate everybody's insight and tips. You know, one thing was, you know, someone suggested just to talk with a little bit more confidence and, you know, speak up a bit. So that's what I've tried to do. You know, hopefully I've improved a bit, and I hope to keep improving with every episode that I do. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And again, you know, please, for if you have any questions, any comments from my podcast, you know, things that maybe agree on, disagree on, you know, debate things, absolutely comment. Let's have a good old debate. You know, and again, and, you know, maybe categories you would want me to discuss, absolutely send them my way. You know, it may not be that next episode, but I will certainly, you know, certainly will do it at some point. And again, you know, just keep liking my page, keep liking my stuff. You know, keep telling people about it. You know, it's actually my birthday on Monday. Going to be the big 2-3. So for my birthday present, just tell one person about it. Get them to like my page. And that's all I ask. You know, it doesn't cost you anything. Takes you 5 seconds and, you know, helps me out a bit. So, like I said, I really do appreciate all the support I've gotten so far. Hope you guys enjoy this one. Not sure when I'll be doing the next one, but stay tuned and keep an eye on my Facebook page. This has been the Small Town Sports Podcast. I'm Trasman Murphy. Peace. We'll be right back.